Blog Talk Radio.
Well, they build their houses in preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden, you will have a pardon. Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden, you will have a pardon. Afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden, you will have a pardon, you will have a pardon. Oh, take me to afflicted one, take me.
Shabbat shalom, family, and welcome to another Sabbath. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful week. This is Yara Al from Bethel Highway Camp with another episode of Can It Be That Simple? We're going to, like always, tell everybody, you know, suggest to everybody, you know, get your pens, your pencils, your crayons, you know, whatever you need to write with, get your pen, paper, your notepad, concordance, your Bibles, get them out so that you can follow along as we go through the Torah this evening. As always, I'm just a little nervous. I guess I had too much time off today, sitting back anticipating the show. But I'm just going to start with a brief prayer. Merciful Father Yah, we thank thee for allowing us to make it to this Shabbat day, the day in which you say you'll meet with us. We thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of the week and bringing us to that Sabbath rest. Because we ask that thee to open our hearts and open our minds to receive the wonders of your word on this day so that we can become closer to you. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach coming. So, now, we all coming out of those who kept Sukkot last week, and the last great day was the beginning of this week. Kind of interesting, being home, you know, it's still got those Sukkot vibes and joy and feelings and things. So, one of the things that came to my mind when preparing for this class is that, you know, we're about to go into the fall of the year, which transfers into the winter of the year, the winter months. So we have to prepare ourselves constantly of all times to deal with the coldness and the bitterness of winter. And it gives us more time to be in the homes and more time to study His Word and broaden our minds. And one of the things that, you know, throughout the course of this week I was thinking about was, you know, a willing heart. Because in order to really serve the Most High, you have to really have a willing heart to do the things that He wants you to do. And we have to put away our selfish desires. So, got a couple words that I want to throw out there today before we get into the lesson. And one of the words, and some may have heard it, may not have heard it, and the word is orthodoxy. And, you know, a lot of times when you hear orthodoxy, you hear, oh, these people are correct in what they do, correct in what they think. And I'll give you a general, you know, definition for it. Orthodoxy, one of the definitions is authorized or generally accepted theory, doctrine, practice, the quality of conforming to orthodox theories, doctrines, or practices. Then another word I want to throw out there to you is orthopraxy. And it's like a contrast to orthodoxy. So I'm giving you the definition that it reads. It says orthopraxy is a correct conduct, both ethical and, liturgical. I had to look that word liturgical up, and it means public worship. And within this definition, it also says, as opposed to faith and grace. So when we look at this word orthopraxy, these people are doing things strictly for the fact of what they're doing. Their practices override their faith and then override the grace, the faith in the Most High and the grace of the Most High. So their practices are based on what they do. Whereas when you deal with orthodoxy, their emphasis is on correct beliefs and correct rituals and the correct practices of the rituals. So we want to be mindful of these definitions when we, you know, examining ourselves and rather not we're doing these things. Because if we're doing these things in a certain manner, then it falls under ritualism. And ritualism is the regular observance of practices of rituals, especially when excessive or without regards to its function, a tradition or fixed way of behaving. So one of the things that I've learned over years in walking this way with Yah and following his son, Yahushua, it's always ever-changing, ever-changing, ever-changing. Nothing is always the same. You're always learning new things as you travel with Yah and following his son, Yahushua. So we as believers in Yah, we want to not to get caught up in being fixed in what we do. Because once we do that, then we become rigid. And that's one thing that the Most High is. He's not rigid. He's stern, but he's not rigid. Because that's why we had grace and mercy. Because that's showing how flexible he can be when he shows you grace and mercy. So we're going to get into the scriptures. And as I come across different words, because I did something different in my preparation this week, I actually put the Hebrew numbers next to some of the words I'm going to emphasize. That way I can just go to the concordance and, you know, go to my page with the definitions on it and read it to you. So as I said earlier, the title of it is With a Willing Heart. So that's what the theme of these scriptures are going to be. And one of the things that I noticed that when doing this, that most of the time, the scriptures that I grabbed, Israel was preparing a temple. And these temples were physical temples. But we have to understand that in this day and time, we are the temple. We are the bricks. As he said, he's going to be lively stones. So in listening to these scriptures, be mindful of yourself and understanding that you are a temple and you have to do certain things to maintain your temple and that your temple can be glorious and your temple is going to be glorious to the Father. So we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. And it reads, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering." So I'm going to stop here at the word willingly. And this in your Hebrew Strong's Concordance. And the word is 5068. Nadab. Willingly. Primary root, to impel, hence to volunteer, to present spontaneously, offer freely, he give, make, or offer self, willing. So one of the things that we see that when these men were bringing their offering, they willingly did it. No one forced them to do it. They did it on their own accord. Then we're going to go to that word heart in the same scripture, and it's 38:20. And it's lev. And the definition for this word is inner man, mind, will. And then it also has heart. But when I was reading this definition, some of the definitions, when it says heart, it means figuratively. It's not implying the organ in your body that beats, that pumps blood. But it implies that. But the definition that they are implying is dealing with the intellect and the feelings of man, which is stimulated by the mind and his thinking. So from there, we're going to go to Exodus 35, verse 21 and 22. And it reads, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and brought Yahweh's offering for the house of the tent of meeting, and for all of its services, all of its service, and for the holy garment. They came, both men and women, as they were willing-hearted, and brought brooches, earrings, signets, rings, amulets, all jewels of gold, even every man who offered an offering of gold to Yahweh. And like I said, this is during a time when they were preparing for the tent of meetings. First, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And it reads, "Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart, all the days of your life. But make them known to your children and your children's children." So it's just talking about, you know, your thinking. You don't want the things that the Most High has done for you throughout the course of your life up until this point to depart from your thinking, not to forget those things. Because he has done a wonderful work in our lives, and he wants us to express those things to our children and our children's children so that they too can have a belief in the Most High and to also have a willing heart to give their lives up to him and follow in the path of Yahushua. Then from there, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. "You shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because that for this thing Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all your work and all that you put your hand to." So right here is just letting you know that, you know, when we out here and we're doing various things for the Most High, we have to be doing them with a willing heart and not be grieved by it. We have to want to do these things because he wants to give us his love, and he does give us his love. But at the same time, he wants us to give him our love. Because there's another scripture, he said, where Israel is the apple of his eye. And if you're calling yourself Israel, that's what you want to be. You want to be that apple in his eyes. You want to know that he's always looking down upon you. He's hearing you crying out. Because there's examples where he said he heard Israel crying out. He heard the cries of his people. Why? Because he says, "I'm not a God afar off, but I'm a God of close at hand." 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, and it reads, "Then the people rejoiced because they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to Yahweh, and David the king also rejoiced with joy." So this is another time when a temple is being built, or being prepared to be built, when the people were giving, and they was giving with a willing heart, a perfect heart. Excuse me. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. And it reads, "I know also, my mighty one, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Now have I seen the joy of your people that are present here, offering willingly to you." See this? Another opportunity. You got the leader. His heart was willing to give. And because his heart was willing to give, the people also did the same thing, following the example that they're being shown. So we, as leaders and of households and congregations, we have to do some things also. We have to show that we have a willing heart to show the Father so that he can bless the house that these leaders are that these leaders are over. We're going to go to Ezra, chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads, then the heads, then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, even all whose spirit Yahweh had stirred to go up, rose up to build the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. So I'm going to stop here for a minute because I'm going to go to that word stirred. And that is 5782 in your Strong's Concordance. And that word is or. Definition, to rouse oneself, awaken. Primary root, through the idea of opening the eyes to wake, to rise, to stir up. So right here, understanding that the Most High can stir our faith up, stir our willingness up within us. And if we pay attention to this scripture, he's talking to the fathers of the houses. He's talking to the leaders of these houses. He's talking to the priests and the Levites. Because the Levites and the priests taught the people. So that's the same thing that I said earlier. The heads of these households have to have a willing heart to do the will of the Most High so that the people in the household can do the will of the Most High also, because we're supposed to be the examples, the fathers, the heads of the households. Ezra chapter 2, verse 68, just reiterating what was just said, that some of the heads of the fathers' houses, when they came up to the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem, offered willingly for the house of Yahweh to set it up in its place. Right here again, dealing with that willing heart. That willing heart. That volunteering, that desire to do well, to be upright in the eyes of the Most High. That's one thing that we have to do. We have to be upright and correct in our service to the Most High. Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 2. It reads, the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. So this was during a time where people were getting ready to, they was moving back to Jerusalem. And, you know, people really didn't want to stay there. But read the scripture again. The people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. That means they gave them the things that they would need to dwell in Jerusalem. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it reads, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, we looked at that word keep before, and it's protect. So we have to protect our thinking. We've got to protect our beliefs. We've got to protect our feelings. Because life is going to hand you issues, and you have to have that correct way. And that correct way, as we know, is the Torah. The Torah leads and guides us. The Torah gives us instructions. The Torah gives us teachings on how to handle life situations. And we have to protect our heart, and we protect our heart by putting Torah in our minds, by feet being fed by that spirit of Yahushua coming back to us and giving us his life, giving us his light, giving us understanding. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He who waters shall be watered also himself. So I looked that word liberal up, and it was in your Hebrew lexicon, 1239. And that word is barak. And it means blessing, benediction, liberal, present. So from there, I went to 2 Corinthians. And it reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. And it reads, for if the readiness, and I'm reading from the World English Bible, so my translation might be a little different. And it reads, for if the readiness is there, it is accepted according to what you have and not according to what you do not have. So I looked up the word readiness in the Greek lexicon, and that was 4288. And that word is prosthenia, which means eagerness. And it's this is a compound word, and it's from Primos, which is 432, which means before, and themios means passion. So it's talking about this readiness is having a passion before the thing even come about. Willingness, pre-inclined, as they say, ready and willing. So that's the same thing, when we serve in the Most High, we have to be ready, willing to do the will of the Most High enthusiastically. We're doing it because we want to do it. We're doing it because we love the Word. We're doing it because we love the Father. We're doing it because we love the Son. And everything else gets that love also because we're showing that love to the Father. And that's one thing that we have to remember. We have to remember our first love. Our first love, which is the Father. We have to remember that. We can't put nothing in front of him. We can't. Because if we put something in front of him, then that makes us an idolater. Because when you put something in front of the Father, now you've made something else an idol. And he doesn't like that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Yahushua, giving thanks to Yah through him. So we have to, when we're out there doing things, we have to be consistent across the board when we're doing a thing. If we at our jobs, we're doing the thing. We're doing a good job at work. Doing a wonderful job at work. When we come home, we're supposed to be doing a good job at home, being a wonderful father, being a wonderful spouse, being a wonderful individual. When we go to the store, we're supposed to be a wonderful customer. Why? Because at all times, we are showing Yahushua to the Father. We're always standing for the Father, so we always have to be in good standing. We have to be consistent across the board. We can't be good employees and bad servants to the Most High. That's inconsistent. And then we're going to call ourselves Israel. We can't do that. Can't do that because the people that don't even see you or don't even interact with you and don't really know what you believe is getting a good treatment of the Word. But those in whom you're around constantly don't get it. We can't be doing that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatever you do, work heartily as for a mighty one and not for men. Just got finished explaining that. We are doing these things for the Most High. We're trying to be an image of Yahushua here on earth. We have to willingly want to show Yahushua. And how do we do that? By clothing ourselves in his spirit, by clothing ourselves in his word, by constantly thinking, meditating on his word, allowing his word to remove the filth that dwells within us, which causes us to be separated from the Father. The Father is always there, but when we keep that filth in us, that causes us to walk away from the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it reads, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yah and Yahushua toward you." I'm going to go to Luke. I think I've been reading the scriptures and I went past. Oh, that was the last scripture I read. No, then I didn't get to it yet. Cool. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And it reads, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings out that which is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings out that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now, I'm going to go here. Got the term heart again. And I'm going to read it from the Greek. You know, I believe the definition is similar. Yeah, it is similar. Yeah, it's the same definition, really. And it's 2588 in your Greek lexicon. And it's cardia. And the definition is inner man, intentions, the mind, character, and heart. So, definition is the same. Your mind, your character, your intentions. So when we're doing these things for the Most High and we're doing them willingly, our intentions must be upright and correct. For if not, then they'd be like the evil man, because the evil man has negative intentions, but he's still going in his treasures and presenting, because what's in his heart, or what's in his thinking, as it says, comes out of his mouth. Same way with a good man. What's in his heart, what's in his thinking, comes out of his mouth also. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, and it reads, "Let each man give accordingly as he has determined in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for Yah loves a cheerful giver." Going back to, you know, when we were reading the scriptures in the Old Testament, or the old scriptures, and it was talking about this willing heart. And, you know, you're doing these things because you genuinely want to do them, not because you're being compelled by somebody else to do them, but you're doing them because you genuinely want to do them. And the Father loves, as it says, a cheerful giver. He doesn't want anything begrudgingly, because he knows your intentions are not good. You're just doing them because you want to be seen of men. You're not doing them because you want the Father to love the fact that you're giving something. We have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful of who we're serving. Are we serving the Most High and trying to please him? Or are we serving man and trying to please him in the things that we do? We're supposed to be trying to please the Most High. We're supposed to be pleasing the Most High by doing his will. by doing these things willingly, because he gives us willingly and cheerfully and with love. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hear my word and does them, I will show you who he is like. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. And it reads, For it is not the hearer of the law who are righteous before Yah, but the doers of the law will be justified. And I looked at where justified up in the lexicon, Greek lexicon, and it was 1344. And the word is like io, and it means make righteous, defend the cause of, justify, acquit, righteous, plead for the righteous, innocence. So that's the answer to that question. It's the doer of the word, doer of the law, to be justified or we be righteous. Because we don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to hear, and as we learn with hearing, we want to be listen attentively. And if we listen attentively, then we'll understand. And if we understand, then we know why we're doing the things that we're doing. Because he doesn't want people to just do things just to be doing them. He wants people to do things because they genuinely understand why they're doing them. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And it reads, therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deluding your own selves. Just getting back to understanding, as we walk with Yah through his Torah, through his word, following Yeshua, we're supposed to be learning some things. We're supposed to be learning how to take off this filthy man and put on a new man for those who've been through the practice of being baptized. As it says, when you get baptized, you put away that old man and you come up a new man, striving to do the right things. Not striving, doing the right things. Because the example that we've been given through Yahushua is that he did those things. He did the ways of the law. And he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So if our Messiah learned from the things that he suffered and performed the task that his father told him willingly, we can also do that also, for we are striving to be like him. So we must also be obedient and keep the law, statutes, and judgments and do these things willingly. Coming to the end of the lesson, very short and sweet, and it's all about being willing. Willing to do the things of the Father. Willing to show Yahushua to everyone, not just the people at work, not just the people at the store, but to the people who know who you are and know what you stand for. they have to also see it also. As we go into the temple, we have to have that willing heart, that willing spirit, that spirit that the Father gives us when he breathes that breath in us every day so that we can get it right. Giving us that opportunity so that we can meet with him, so that we can see him. The question is, do you want to see the Father? Do you want to fight with the Son when he comes back? I mean, we read these stories and we understand what is coming ahead. Do you want to do that? Do you want to fight beside King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Yahushua, when he comes back? And when the victory is done, get to see the Father and all his wonders that he has for us? If we do, we have to do these things now. We have to prepare ourselves now as we read about different things, the rehearsal. We're rehearsing right now to be righteous so that when that righteous kingdom comes, it won't be an issue because we've already overcame this world system. We've already overcame those worldly people. Let's not be dismayed, family. Let's not be dismayed, Israel. The world has nothing for us. Nothing. But empty promises that's keeping us away from the Father. Keeping us away from the Word. Keeping us away from the truth. We can't be deluding our own selves with our own righteousness. We're supposed to compare ourselves with the Word. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. It's okay if you don't want to do something. But don't do it begrudgingly, thinking that you're obligated to do something, because the Father sees that. He knows your intentions. Now we're going to go to Acts 5, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold possessions and kept back part of the price. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land while you kept it? Didn't it remain your own after it was sold? Wasn't it in your power? How is it that you have conceived this thing in your heart? You have lied. You haven't lied to men, mighty one." And this is going back to being willing. See, this story is talking about a husband and wife. They gave the appearance of being willing, but in the end, their intentions were not righteous. And if you continue to read in the story, they die because their intentions were not good. And that's the way we want to be. We don't want to be like this couple here. We want our gift to be genuine. We want to do because we have a desire to show the Father that we love him, just as Yahushua did. He showed his love by being obedient to the Word. being obedient to what was said. And that's what he wants us to do. We read throughout the scriptures, you know, when Israel was doing right, they was being blessed. We read in the scriptures when Israel was doing right, the father was happy. We want our father to be happy. And then I'm going to conclude with this one, just as Solomon concluded. And he reads, and it reads Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. Gonna go back to this word fear. One of the definitions for that word fear is respect, reverence, honor. So I'm gonna reread this one. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Honor Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Respect Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Love Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So as I conclude the lesson today, a willing heart, family, as we supposed to do, examine ourselves day in and day out, because we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to hear that. At least I know I want to hear that, because I know I want to hear that. I know all the other believers out there, all the rest of Israel believes that also, or wants that, or desires that. But if you desire that, then we have to honor Yahweh, keep his commandments, his laws, statutes, and judgments, and be a light to those that are in darkness. For Yahushua has shown us the light, he has shown us the way, and he has shown us the truth. And what we're supposed to be is mirrors of him, so others can see the same thing. So to Israel and to all that are listening, have a peaceful slumber and enjoy the meeting with Yah tomorrow. Shalom.